Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
You know what happens when Albert gets high? We're gonna be partying like it's 2006 again.
You know, yes, and Lewis, we the truest red birds in our hearts. So many pennants, we should hang them from the arch. I love my birds on my chest, I love my birds on my hat. As long as that bird red, I'm putting it in my bed. I love my birds on my chest, I love my birds on my hat.
Pretty good. Very strong. Very street.
Yep. Now,
Doug, the people hear Chambers, You My Boy, and they're probably so damn stunned that they don't pay attention to anything else afterwards.
Probably,
and they're missing out is what they're doing.
Right.
Because after he says Chambers, You My Boy, he says the Braves, they lost their poise.
Oh, I don't care for that.
But did the Braves lose their poise?
Well, they kind of did this week.
No, this is 2011.
Oh, it was kind of drowned out by your bop-a-dee, bop-a-dee.
Yeah, my percussion's pretty good. So the column that ran on SI.com was written by a gentleman by the name of John Taylor, and he is going to join us here at the top of this 9 o'clock hour on 590 The Fan KFNS. And it opens in this manner. It's kind of amazing that, quote, women like sports and you don't have to bribe slash trick them into attending a game. End quote, is a hard-to-understand concept in the year 2017 or at all, but the Cardinals clearly haven't fully grasped that one. Behold a since-deleted tweet of theirs promoting a World Series replica ring giveaway, awash in some impressively casual sexism. The author of the column titled, "The Cardinals sent out a sexist tweet about a World Series ring giveaway," John Taylor joins us right now in the Appliances Counter phone lines. John, good morning.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you so much. So did you see the tweet on your own and that was your reaction, or did somebody bring it to your attention and then you wrote your column? How did this all come to pass?
Pretty much came floating across my timeline, saw that, and that was my pretty much immediate reaction of, hey, that language is not exactly the best to use to promote this, I don't think.
And do you think your column, because I get where you're coming from, but I doubt that it was a tweet that was planned by many higher-ups after much consideration. I think someone just threw it out there. Is it possible that the extensive recreation of the potential dialogue in your piece, that maybe you blew it a little bit out of proportion, or am I wrong there?
I'm willing to admit I may have taken that a little too extreme, but I mean, that's kind of what I was aiming for in the first place. I wasn't trying to give a, you know, actual, here's what literally happened when the entire Cardinals front office and ownership group all sat down and collectively planned out that week's tweet. So yes, of course, it's a little, I mean, it's meant to get a laugh. It's a little out of proportion. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think there were some women that actually might've been offended by that? Not by what you wrote, but by the Cardinals?
Oh, yeah, I saw plenty of them tweeting about it. I mean, I'm not surprised that they would be offended by the particular language chosen and employed there. And even not so much the language, just the idea behind it, too.
Well, you happen, I assume, to know that Cardinal fans are the best fans in baseball.
There you go.
And many of them happen to be female, who know just as much about the game as, say, some random AM sports talk radio host. Because Cardinal Nation does not differentiate between the sexes, the only thing that matters is the bond about loving the St. Louis Cardinals. Thanks for the ring, Tim.
Sorry, what exactly was the question there?
There wasn't one. I was grandstanding a little bit there.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to make sure. Because, no, I mean, believe me, that's part of the thing, is that there are women like baseball just as much as men like baseball. No, baseball, just everyone, the exact same amount.
But don't you think? And I get it. They deleted the tweet. But don't you think, you know, we get that now? That yes, there are plenty. I mean, if you go to Busch Stadium, you see a lot of female fans, a ton of them. So we get that. Yes, women like sports too. I don't think it needs to be a lesson that has to be, you know, underscored in any sense. Do you?
I mean, I think it does need to be underscored, because I think when you see something come out like that, it's not just an unfortunately worded tweet, or if that's even the phrasing you want to go with. It's the way that things like particular ladies' nights or events are promoted, and the idea that women couldn't possibly understand the sport of baseball. They couldn't possibly like it on their own. They need to be dragged into it through the promise of, you know, shiny jewelry or mimosas or whatever it is that's been chosen in that particular format to get them into it. I mean, if you guys are all under the or are all of the belief and the correct belief that women like sports as much, if not more, than men, so why even bother differentiating between men and women in a tweet or any kind of promotion in the first place?
But that's why I was, you know, saying I don't think it was, you know, some long-term plan by the – I think it was a tweet that was kind of silly, and I really don't think – I don't know anyone that would say women can't possibly understand the sport of baseball. It's way too complex. I don't know anyone that thinks that way. There are some women who don't like sports. There are some guys that don't like sports.
What was that you said, John?
You guys haven't spent enough time on Twitter if you think that there aren't men out there telling or expressing the opinion that women couldn't possibly understand or like baseball.
Clip that off, Plowhawk.
In general, you also shouldn't spend much time on Twitter.
Yeah, that's that I would agree is a tight read. So let me take this approach to it which I would imagine you'd agree with, but what I want to gather is the thought process, because I want to understand where you're coming from better. Usually on this program, I'm the one who's on the left on issues, and on this one, I didn't see it, so I want to understand. I'm not interested really in debating per se, although I know that gets people off, but I'm just trying to interested in following the thought process. So, for example, as an agnostic person, you know, when the Cardinals do Christian Day at the ballpark or something along those lines, I don't go, hey, man, that isn't cool. You got to do an agnostic day. I just recognize it as they're doing days at the ballpark doing promotions, and I don't read into it as the Cardinals are looking to advance Christianity. They did a Pride Night last year, which upset plenty of people in St. Louis, which I thought was unfortunate, but I also expected it. But I didn't think that meant the Cardinals were therefore saying, hey, I hope a couple guys hook up here, a couple girls hook up. It was just another promotion. So that's how I saw it, and I didn't take it for anything other than that. So what in that I just laid out, John, do you disagree with philosophically?
Because I think there's a difference between an event that says people of this particular orientation, we're celebrating you or creating, in the case of a Pride Night, a safe space for you to be here and be recognized versus, I mean, this was, as far as I remember correctly, this was just to give away a 1967 World Series replica ring. You didn't even really need to acknowledge the fact that women like jewelry. You could have just said, come to this game and you will get a replica ring. That's kind of what I'm kind of going for is the difference here that, you know, you don't have to acknowledge men and women separately. If they're all baseball fans and just promote it as if everyone's a baseball fan, you don't really need to acknowledge that or come up with this kind of strange, 1950s style, you like sports, she likes not sports, here's something for her way to promote something. And that's just the way I see it.
Well, I don't know. I think people in St. Louis really could care less. I think most of them just look at it as saying, okay, they're just trying to get more women to the park. The stadium's probably 30-40% female fans now. If we can get more of them out there, we'll probably get the men. We'll probably get more people just in general as paying customers. I don't know that they think it through so much as are we being insensitive to women and what they might know about it.
Well, that's why I mentioned that it was casual. I mean, for it to be overtly sexist, it would have, you know, that tweet would have been along the lines of women, pick up your women folk, throw them over your shoulder and bring them out to Busch Stadium for a fun time at the baseball game that they will hate. The casualness of it is that, like you said, someone might read it and not immediately or not even over a couple of thoughts think, hey, that's kind of a weird way to put that. Why are they implying that women only like jewelry and don't like baseball, and the only way to get them to a baseball game is to promise them jewelry? I mean, that's kind of the, you know, hence the term casual sexism. So I can understand that, but I think it's just worth pointing these things out when they do happen, because I think it is a learning opportunity for everyone to be able to, you know, carefully use their language and make sure that they are talking to fans in a way that isn't intentionally or unintentionally condescending or anything along those lines.
John Taylor is our guest right now on 590 The Fan KFNS and InsideSTL.com. John writes for Sports Illustrated, and he wrote the column we are discussing right now. The Cardinals sent out a sexist tweet about a World Series ring giveaway was the title of it. What kind of reaction did you get from your column, John?
Well, Some people agree with it. Some people disagreed with it. Such is the way of writing anything on the internet nowadays. I will say some fans were a little more vociferous in not liking it, and they tend to get a little rude when they do that, but that's okay. I mean, I wrote something last year arguing about Chief Wahoo and why it should go away, and I got plenty of less than fun feedback on that from Indians fans. So, you know, I'm used to it. I mean, it's a little sad that people can read something like that and infer it to take that I am, you know, trashing on their team or franchise. I don't have anything against the Cardinals. I mean, I think that's something that kind of gets lost when people write stuff about what the Cardinals do if they don't necessarily agree with it, that I thus hate the Cardinals. I don't. I don't have anything against the Cardinals, but I mean, I think the reaction's been fine overall. You write stuff on the internet, you get used to hearing both sides of things.
Do you think you received more support or more criticism? And the reason I'm asking is not for feelings purposes, but for what the response was overall. Did people agree with your premise, or was it a 75-25 the other way? That's why I'm asking.
You know, I can't say I really, you know, took a tally to find out. To be honest, I'm not 100% super interested in finding out exactly how each person feels about it. I'm more just generally, I want to write something I think that makes a good argument, and if people are free to agree or disagree with it in whatever numbers they choose. I mean, certainly if I have 100% of people telling me this is wrong and terrible, then I probably need to reevaluate. But I'd say I had plenty of people supporting it and a few people saying, hey, I don't agree with this. But I think the thing that stuck out to me a bit was that some of the people disagree with my general premise, fine. And some of the people disagree with me simply because I think they were Cardinals fans that they didn't like that I was writing something about the Cardinals, which, and that's the one, like I said, where I'm a little, you know, I'm allowed to write something. Anyone is allowed to write something noting that a team has done something they think is wrong. And that does not necessarily mean they think the team is now the worst thing in the entire universe. Again, I got nothing against the Cardinals. I think they're a perfectly fine baseball team, although I did kind of write them off for dead a little bit in the month of April, and they kind of proved me wrong. I'm sure they've proven a lot of people wrong so far.
Well, in the U.S. Constitution, I believe that there is a clause that you're not allowed to put anything in print that is negative toward the Cardinals. I could be wrong about
that. Yeah, I feel like I've heard that one from Cardinals fans a bit on Twitter.
You think we're too sensitive here?
I don't know if you guys are too sensitive. You certainly seem to have your antenna up for any kind of Cardinals commentary. I do. Look, I know, I understand that certainly Cardinals fans have received their fair share of, let's say, criticism over the last few years. Some of it for the things they've said, some of it just generally for the, you know, people don't like the franchise, and I get that. And I do think it's kind of made them generally a little more sensitive to it than I think other fan bases that are more used to getting flack a bit. Like, you know, certainly Yankees and Red Sox fans are also, if you write something that doesn't seem to have their point of view about their team, they'll let you hear about it. But I think they're also more used to hearing that more often, and they've heard it for longer than I think Cardinals fans have. I think the whole Cardinals fans thing is a little bit newer since, you know, the team hasn't necessarily received as much attention, you know, as us East Coast teams have.
Why wouldn't some around the country like the Cardinal franchise? Is it because they won too much, or Tony La Russa was a polarizing figure in the minds of some? Where would the dislike come from?
La Russa was a polarizing figure in the minds of some, both on and off the field. I think a lot of it has to do with the general kind of, and apologies, this is not reflective of you guys because I've never even met you guys, so I can't really comment on how you guys are or feel about your own team. It's this general kind of sanctimony that comes attached with rooting for the Cardinals. The whole best fans in baseball moniker, for example.
that gets people.
Yeah, that y'all are somehow better fans than any one other group of fans in baseball, and that, you know, the 15 standing ovations a game whenever something good happens. That sense of kind of, I think that especially tends to rub people the wrong way. That feeling that, you know, you guys are the only good fan base in baseball when, I mean, look, I've seen plenty of Cardinals fans react online to things that did not go the Cardinals' way, the 2013 World Series, for example, to know that your fan base, just as any other fan base, has its fair share of bad eggs. No bird pun intended. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but I think that people have a kind of bad reaction to Cardinals fans then insisting, though, crowing, again, no bird pun intended, that you know, we are the best fans. And it's like, no, you have bad fans too. Everybody's got bad fans, you know?
But overall, still the best. Overall, still the best, though, right? We all agree on that, right? We do.
I'm getting the sense.
I feel like if I challenge you on that point, I'm not going to get off this. I'm never going to get off the phone. So I might have to let you go on that one.
I'm getting the sense you don't appreciate a ground ball to the right side to move the runner over to third like mm-hmm. we do. You don't get that in New York, do you?
There's plenty of that in New York. It's just unintentional on the part of the Mets. I will say, I mean, but that's also kind of the thing where it's like there's Cardinals fans are supposed to have this innate higher understanding of baseball, and it's no, pretty much every fan base can appreciate a productive out if such a thing can be said to exist based on modern sabermetrics, which that's a whole other conversation for a whole other day.
John Taylor, the author of the column, kind enough to join us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. John, thank you for the time, sir.
Hey, no, my pleasure. Thanks, guys.
See John Taylor, you, John. Sports Illustrated with us. He wrote the column, and then the column that he wrote, I believe, then got things going as far as reaction on, Doug, what you call the Twitter tweets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a reaction to a non-story, a non-issue, a silly tweet that became something because someone wrote something that didn't match the silliness of the tweet.
I think just going on in our country right now in general, there are people who always have the antenna up, always looking to be offended by something. That's a big part of who they are now, is finding something that offends them. And then you've got the other half who just could pretty much care less. And neither side seems to understand where the other side's coming from.
There was a great deal of irony in him labeling Cardinal fans hypersensitive, considering the basis for his column was rather hypersensitive. Yeah. However, I'm coming from the... I actually agree with the... observation of the element of a wing of the Cardinal fan base that is certainly not all of the Cardinal fan base that I do believe is sanctimonious, and it's really an odd thing. And
you're
talking to
me now? You think that's me?
No, probably the people I'm talking to don't listen to this show.
Right.
But I don't feel, and maybe I was, but I don't feel like for example, I started at KMOV in 2000, and I don't feel like this was going on then. I feel like it's a relatively, I mean 10 to 12 years recent phenomenon. And I don't know what the cause for it is. And all I'm doing is introducing a thesis and not stating it as fact. It's been my observation as a fan. And I, for example, I recall going to the 2006 World Series parade and being at Busch Stadium. And I felt like I was like in the audience at the 700 Club. And it's just like everybody's just like blindly waving back and forth as Tony La Russa and Mark Lamping and Walt Jocketty would speak. And I'm going, God, I mean, I'm thrilled they won the World Series. I've been waiting for this since 1982 when I barely remember winning the World Series. But this is a little odd. And I long for our city to be known more for other developments outside of a good baseball team and having a good fan base.
Well, what do we got exactly?
Soccer, right? The soccer
don't have that. No, no.
So, you know, I'll restate it, even though I made it pretty clear at the outset. I think it's a wing of the fan base and likely not necessarily people who are listening to this program, but I don't know what really the cause for that was, but it's not necessarily fair to say what was the cause of it. Cause by saying that subliminally insinuates that it actually exists. You know what I mean? So it's not fair to say that. But in my mind, it does exist. And as a lifelong fan, I'm curious. I don't know if it was the marketing campaign for Baseball Heaven, you know, and then a few players would just kind of like they do interviews and a lot of guys would sign long-term deals like McGuire after he came here. When did he sign his deal? Was it 97 when he came here? And he like signed within a year, or excuse me, a month. Edmund signed right away. Mm-hmm. Roland signed right away, and the go-to play was the best fans in baseball. And then it kind of got, and then obviously the organization, you know, playing to the fans, smart marketing said that. And then, you know, I don't know. I don't know if in the 1980s when Ted Simmons came back, did he get like a 5-minute standing ovation? I don't know. It seems like, again, it's a wing of the fan base. And by wing, I mean a sliver of the fan base that takes the behavior of the baseball team and really more importantly, the reputation of the baseball fan quite seriously.
Do other players think of St. Louis as having great fans? Yes. Has that whole best fans thing been bastardized to a certain extent? Yes. And do some people wear it as if it's a crown you know, or gives them superpowers. Absolutely. What this thing comes down to, though, you know, when he says seriously that obviously that there's some that believe that women can't possibly know anything about baseball, I think it's ridiculous. Is there some hill jack somewhere who believes that?
Nice hill jack.
Yes. But I don't think that's a standard belief by any stretch. I mean, baseball is so complex that a woman couldn't understand. I mean, that's bizarre.
You see that tweet, and that's the thing, which is why I wanted to make sure that I was establishing my premise was my opinion, and it may not be accurate. It just might not be accurate. I don't know. And by that, I mean my premise that this has happened over the last 10 to 12 years. Because I don't recall feeling this way when I was at Busch Stadium almost on a daily basis from the 2000 through 2004 season. Maybe it was going on and I didn't know, or maybe it's not going on now. So along those same lines, his premise in seeing that tweet, as you heard in his own words and you can read in his own column, is that that marketing promotion is saying that women don't like baseball and they can't possibly understand baseball. And that is why that tweet is casual sexism. And again, and I think it's important to say this, and it's almost like, you know, in 2017, and really for however long this has been going on, the last 10, 15 years as well, but even more intensified in 2017, when you're having a discussion, and for people who don't listen on a regular basis, go, so I make it clear, I am for certain on this show, but usually in most cases across the board, when it comes to a social issue, way to the left. And even if I disagree with it, I go, okay, I see where it's coming from. I can empathize because I'm not in that category. I don't know what that experience is like, whatever the case might be. On this one, I just don't see it even in the slightest way. And I think what it does, even though I doubt it was the intent, of course, is does a disservice to causes that actually do have some discriminatory or prejudicial elements. And
no, to some extent, I think this is a political correctness again. You know, you could have commercials where dad is a bumbling idiot and no one would bat an eyelash. But if you say mom is a bumbling idiot, sexist, can't do that. Could never do that without somebody getting upset by it.
Well, I think once Virginia Slims came out and gave women their own brand of cigarettes now, baby, they come a long way.
So that was when this started?
Yeah. Virginia you got Slims? Your own cigarettes now, baby. You've come a long way.
Yeah, that was right after they got the right to vote, I think.
Caucasians.
Doug, this is Matt.
Who bowls at Hanks.
It's Matt on the Cardinals tweet.
Oh, hello, Matty. Matt!
Hi.
Yes, hello.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah, I don't bowl at Hanks, but okay, so I was listening to your fellow John Taylor there, and I'm like, isn't he right for Sports Illustrated? Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, don't they have, like, the most sexist swimsuit issue, like, the most sexist thing in the world?
Good point.
No, I think Beaver Hunt and Hustler is a little more aggressive.
Yeah,
well,
that's a good point.
You gotta love that, but I mean, come on with this guy. I wish I could have got through when this guy was on there. You know, I appreciate his point, but... Like, you know, the swim.
Just because you write for them doesn't mean that you're the power behind the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue anyway. That's like blaming this guy. He had a point. I disagreed with it. But that doesn't mean that he's responsible for everything Sports Illustrated does.
But he does represent them.
I love the swimsuit edition. I mean, if Doug were in it, it'd be better. But I mean, I do really appreciate that edition.
Maybe next year.
Sure people do. You think so?
Yeah, well, there's a chance next year I may wear a barely there boy short.
That off plow, Cub.
Sweet. All right, guys.
Thank you.
I won't take any more time.
Thanks, Matt.
Okay.
I think we called him.
Yeah. If we could get some of the swimsuit models some jewelry, they'd probably love it.
And to call those rings jewelry, too. I mean, obviously, when you send out a tweet like that, it's not like you're really pretending that it's real jewelry. Like, hey, honey, look at this. I guess it's metal of some sort, but it's not real jewelry. So on the face value, the whole thing is ridiculous. Just,
guys, the Cardinals' recent rise coincided, and not necessarily the rise, but the Cardinals' recent rise, I guess, in this mindset in some fans, coincided with a bad run for the city in general. I don't live in St. Louis anymore, but a favorite pastime for my friends that do is to rip the city for its shortcomings while at the same time glomming onto the success of the baseball team. That comes from Timmy Tom Tom.
I could see that, where there's not, hadn't been a whole lot go great for St. Louis.
You ever been to the Fudgery?
Over the last couple of decades. And one thing that is good year after year is the St. Louis Cardinals. So people are very proud of their team.
Do you think it would be better to thin the herd of Cardinal fans?
No.
And then differentiate between the real fans, the true fans, yeah. Tim, yeah. And the others that are just bandwagon fans. And you know who would decide? Me.
I think it's good. That'd be fun.
I could have a little event
at Ballpark Village.
Yeah, and I would hold fan court, and then both sides could present their arguments as to whether or not one is a real fan, a true fan, Doug. Yeah. You know what those are. Or the bandwagon fans, and I would rule whether they are true fans.
Guys, Big Al wears his little ring all the time. He really thinks he's part of the team. That's from Matt, who bowls at Hank's. And by the way, you missed it, the cat, while you were in Miami. Buck Swope announced that... that Matt who bowls at Hanks. Do you have the clip, Plow?
Oh, I'd like to hear this.
Plow Cub, this is a huge... Doug couldn't believe it when he heard
it.
When you miss this show, you miss a lot.
You do. Take a listen, if you would. Felt like I bought enough time, but I don't know if I did.
All right, hit the lever, Plow.
Say you do again.
You do, Jack.
He definitely... Matt who bowls at Hanks, I would say, is definitely going to get his own sewed at some point.
I love it.
Get his own sewed.
That's funny.
Because he wrote in an email.
That's funny to call it a sewed.
It isn't.
It's wonderful.
Yes, it is.
And it saves time. He only has an hour, and we have a lot going on Saturday nights at midnight, and we have to get in, and we have to get out.
If you can lop off two syllables per word, you can talk twice as much.
I don't know why you're down on this Buck Swope. First of all,
he's a shutter spook.
He's a patriot.
First of all, he happens to like the show that you've been part of for a while.
So. Decade, Doug. You got a 10th anniversary coming up, Jack.
Supporting it. Secondly, he's a nice guy. And thirdly, he's a really smart guy, Doug. He is.
How do you know?
I've talked to him.
Yeah. Matt who bowls at Hanks, I would say, is definitely going to get his own sewed at
Beautiful.
Some point.
That sound like a real smart guy to you?
Yes. He is smart. Do you think he's smart?
He's smart. Hey. Not like people say.
Right, he's smart.
What are you trying to say? He's like Fredo?
How do you know he's smart? You ever seen his grades?
I believe that I can deduce after having multiple conversations with a person whether or not they're smart.
All right.
It doesn't mean I think I'm smart.
At a bar. You've seen him at bars, taverns, saloons.
And restaurant-type places.
So you're not... So a conversation had at, say, a Hot Shots... doesn't really count as a conversation because there's no way to gauge whether someone's smart.
What kind
there.
Of conversations are you having with this fella when you're drunk?
Mostly about foliage.
You talk about trees.
Trees and leaves.
And Doug, as you know, when we do our remotes, I don't even have a drink. So to you throwing out whether or not I was drunk is, I think, scandalous.
That's okay to have a drink.
Scandalous.
Doug, we just got this text. I had a dream I won a 590 contest and my wife and I got to have dinner with Tim and Anna Marie at their home.
Thank you, Danny Schwartz.
Hold on, the limit's gone. It's not, Doug, it's not over.
Okay.
There's more. Aren't you curious where this goes?
Well, I'm not. I'm not in the least, because I know where it goes.
We brought them a gift for their child. It's like the Magi. Is that what it is? Was that the Magi Magi?
I don't know, but this is one of the wise men writing in now.
It's like when Michael's son had his first communion in Godfather 2, and everyone brought gifts. Same thing.
And that's Senator from Nevada, but he was corrupted the day he was born.
And he got his later in the sod.
We brought them a gift for their child and realized that all the other people that were there had bought really expensive gifts. And all we had brought was like a $15 gift, and we felt embarrassed, and we left. Thanks. It's from the 314.
He should have brought either frankincense or myrrh.
Sometimes you can get by if you're just throwing hosannas at their feet. Maybe a gift isn't required.
Well, you throw hosannas at Tim's feet, and you bring the young child, the Savior, you bring him some frankincense.
I don't even know what frankincense is.
Frankincense and myrrh. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I want an Oompa Loompa, and I want an Oompa Loompa now, Daddy.
Wonderful.
I remember Franken and Davis, a very funny comedy duo on Saturday Night Live. They used to do
Al
the
Franken.
Shorts. They did the shorts. And his partner, Al Davis. I don't know if it was Al Davis.
Larry Davis.
Larry David.
Same. Mm-hmm. Guys, I had a dream also. I had dinner off of Doug's buttocks.
Tom Davis.
Eddie Murphy style. Love, Lance Painter.
Lance Painter, the former Cardinal reliever, lefty, has indeed been suspended.
I think he started, too.
He has indeed been suspended a period of 2 days' time.
Thank you for listening, Lance. Haven't seen you in a while. I hope you're doing well. Tim, for Doug's 10th anniversary gift, I will let him be on top for once. Thanks. That's for Mae Young's newborn hand.
Mae Young's newborn hand joins the suspension logule list. He'll sit there a period of 2 days' time.
I remember when I had my 10th anniversary, you got me a car.
Yep. A new car.
Threw me keys, and I was like, wow, Tim, a just BMW? Like
yep.
Right.
Thank you.
Yep. That's what we do.
Just for sitting here for 10 years.
Yep.
Not you got a new BMW.
We're artists. This is like a little artist colony in a sense.
Yes, it is.
Doesn't feel that way to me. Feels like just some blokes sitting around being.
Oh, blokes. I like that term, yeah. Even though it's British and I need them out of my country.
I haven't heard the...
Seamaster, how long have you been with the show? 2014? Is that fair? Doug, is that 2014? Is it maybe late 2013?
Seems longer than that.
Does it?
I don't know. I don't know the years, Tim. He's not listening.
He says summer 2015.
2015? Really?
15. Because me and Edmonds were doing the show in 14, weren't we? We were doing the show in 14,
I don't remember the years, Tim.
God, did the Edmonds show all of 14? Yeah, but I mean, you've been with the company since 2014. That's what I'm saying.
Not, he feels like not talking, I guess.
Well, Bernie's going through the Corsi rankings.
Oh. Plus, Seamonster feels that there's going to be long-term damage being this close to this show for that many years.
Right.
You know, like, he was a smart, healthy, wholesome guy, and now look at him.
Hello. Amazing.
That's why you go by a different name when you work here. You want a history to be able to erase.
I think we could ask the people who listen to this thing religiously and actually study it, like Swope, who basically does a 30 for 30 every other Saturday on the show, and Matt, who bowls at Hanks, has a sode coming. What the names, the real names of the Plowhawk, Iggy, and the Seamaster are. I'm not sure they could name them.
No, they wouldn't.
Sometimes I'll...
The Morning After with Tim McKirkin.
Sometimes the voiceover. People don't even know the name of the host.
Our own announcer doesn't know for sure.
Doug, Al Franken and Davis were in Trading Places with Jamie Curtis, Nip Nips. Merry New Year.
Now, she was a daughter of Tony Curtis.
And he got banged by Kirk Douglas in a bathhouse or something.
I don't know that they went that
Frank
far.
Frank Cusimano.
Another one of the announcers. No clue who we are. And we pay them.
Okay. Gotta go now.
All right. See you, Douglas.
Justin in Columbia has written in for the Hot Shots email of the day. However, no Misty Plops or Tunnels 12,000 as of yet.
Good. Especially Tunnels 12,000. He's as vile as any of them.
Using the screen name Tunnels 12,000.
Mm-hmm. Doug, you know anything about... what would be a perfect gift for Mother's Day? I know, I think I might have said this, but now it's a little more timely. We're taking my mom, me, my brother Danny, my brother Kevin, and my sister Mara, taking my mom to brunch on Sunday. And then Sunday afternoon, Anna Marie's mom coming over, and we're going to watch the Players' Championship. And the Island Green. Boy, how about what Bernhard Langer's doing so far?
I'm sure the women will love that exciting day. What they'd like is some jewelry.
One back of
you're
Ricky Fowler.
Make them watch golf. Oh, my Lord.
The Island Green.
I've been thinking about what would make the perfect Mother's Day gift, not just for your mother, but for all mothers. And the best I can come up with, and I think this is a really good solution, Sherry's Berries.
Yeah. Oh, good choice. Hold on.
That was probably it.
I hadn't thought of that.
Mother's
since
Day
last
is
hour.
Sunday, but there's still time to send her Sherry's Berries. You're saying, what is that? Well, huge, freshly dipped strawberries starting at $19.99 plus shipping. Sherry's Berries are huge, and they are sweet, juicy, and they're covered in decadent toppings. And today only, exclusive last-minute offer for you is double the berries for mom for just $10 more, and she'll get free cake truffles, too. Pick your desired delivery date, plus your satisfaction is guaranteed, or you get your money back. Now, the only way to get this amazing berries deal, starting at just $19.99, is to visit berries.com.
Yeah.
You click on the microphone in the top right corner, and there's a code that you use, and that code would be morning after, one word. Then double your berries for mom and get the free cake truffles before they run out.
Yeah.
That's berries.com and code morning after when you click on the mic. This amazing deal won't last long. Mother's Day is Sunday, so be sure to order now.
Mother's Day this Sunday. Oh, my. Doug, what's your email address? Thanks. That's from Stay at Home Vic.
I'm not giving Vic my email address. Right now, I've got 20.
Somebody must have changed this guy's name because he's written in 907 times, but I've never seen his name before.
Stay at home Vic.
Who is changing the names in the text inbox?
We need a full-fledged investigation.
He thinks any of us, you think we have time or care what the names come in as?
Hell no.
Stay at home, Vic.
Maybe that's
Vic's a shut-in.
Or maybe he's a defender that is a stay-at-home defenseman. Yeah.
Plowboy, because I can't remember, you accused one person of blasting the walls in the restroom and another person of changing the names in the text inbox. I can't keep them straight.
I got Hoffman still.
You always go after Hoffman.
No, he went after Giamatti for the restroom deal.
Yeah, Giamatti definitely went the poop shooter.
Oh. Boy, that was bad. That was bad stuff there.
Doug, stay at home, Vic writes, it's my name.
So stay at home is his first name.
Right.
And Vic is his last name.
Right.
Stay at home. Is that
that's Scandinavian.
No, yeah, because it could be stay at is his first name, home is his middle name. And Vic is his last name.
Guys, what does my name say? That comes from Mr. Tribbers.
Okay. Who writes those in at all? Who does it initially?
Sea Monster, I'm going to use my one time to have you on the air here on Thursday. I'm going to use it now. Who writes in the names in the first place? Because some people just have phone numbers, some people have real names, and some people have code names.
I believe I enter most of the names initially. I'll keep an eye on the text line.
Initially, you notice that?
Mm-hmm. I'll keep an eye on the text line, and people the first few times will usually include their name in the text. But once, you know, say I have Caller Adam saved, then he no longer has to say that it's Caller Adam. Shows up.
Very nice.
Okay.
So what you're saying is you expect the Cardinals to win 10 in a row.
Yeah.
Now, who has access to that so that they might change some fella's name?
Yeah, the private codes.
Anyone who has the login information that just even looks at the text line could theoretically go in there and change it.
Why would someone do that, though?
So
why?
Hosts, why would Brian Hoffman do that, according
why
to Bob
Why would someone do
hosts
that?
And producers are all suspects.
Now, when you say hosts and producers, I feel like you're going after probably not Frank, probably not Martin.
Well,
I could see Charlie doing it.
On the midday grind, it is Mr. Marlowe is the one that reads the text line.
Oh, my word. I feel like I'm the guy in the crying game who just found out his friend had a ween.
Oh, jeez. Was that a drunken bar mistake?
Oh, he's saying it because he's Irish?
No, because he found out his friend had a ween.
Did we just have our chief producer level an accusation at Marlowe without any proof whatsoever?
Yeah, we had a co-producer level an accusation against Brian Hoffman and the executive producer level an accusation against Charlie Marlowe. This is serious.
It's not. It's fake news.
What?
It's fake news.
Doesn't amount to a hill of beans.
Thank you, Doug.
I'm not necessarily a big St. Louis fan, like Cardinals fan.
Wow. Thanks, Charlie. Thanks, Chuck.
Who said that?
Charlie.
Play it again, Sam.
I'm not necessarily a big St. Louis fan, like Cardinals fan.
Wow.
Wow, Charlie.
Wow, wait till the old bats who watch the news hear that.
Some of these days in this market are numbers.
Why does Charlie hate the Cardinals?
Right.
That really came out in that bite, didn't it?
Doug, I was trying to email show to try win email of the day. That's from Stay at Home Vic.
Okay. I wonder why he's staying at home.
Maybe his wife is the breadwinner.
Like Mr. Mom, Michael Keaton, and Terry Garr. Is that Michael Keaton?
Yes.
I think so.
And Hank Kingsley was in that thing.
Yeah, I don't care. So Vic just stays at home while his wife goes out to work. And perhaps she has a ween as well?
Guys, I feel like Chuck changed my name. That comes from Prod Joe's more popular MMF. No, that's what your name is in there.
How would you know he feels like Chuck changed? How would you know?
Charlie is dead to me. That's from the fart smuggler.
Charlie's got to be careful. You know, he loves that Upper Peninsula. Right?
He does.
Yeah.
He loves, Dayton.
That's Toledo.
And the greater Ohio area proper.
Uh-huh. Northern.
Which is fine. But you better love these Redbirds, especially when they're soaring.
He
son.
Likes Bradley, but he's leveled serious accusations against the
those are
founder
accurate.
Of that school.
What are the odds? 6-for-6 and a hubby?
Doug,
I think it's possible.
Monkey Shoulder Scotch Whiskey is the official scotch of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Is there anything better than sitting at a bar and having yourself a little Monkey Shoulder and checking out the dames?
Ba-va-va-voom. Would you look at that dish?
It's also, you get a bottle of that and say you're doing a radio show in the morning, and you just down about half.
Yep.
Because the hot takes will be even hotter.
Come on, Bradley Bill, let's go!
Oh, wow.
What's wrong with the city of Washington? Win the playoffs! Great fans!
That take is scorching hot.
How come Sierra isn't hitting second? The kid just came up. I'm getting a million tweets about that. Why is he hitting so low in the order? He just got here. Leave him alone for a few games.
Doug Monkey Shoulder Whiskey. Not the original whiskey like Doug. More original than that, like Tim.
Okay. Of course. Even their lemmings. Boy, that Danny Schwartz runs a nice insurance agency. It's over in Columbia, Illinois. Danny can meet you. He'll meet you at his office or at your home. And be sure to ask Danny how your school can receive free supplies for teachers and students through Farmers Insurance. That's right. So call or text 618-317-5027 and get a free, no-obligation insurance comparison from Danny Schwartz in Columbia, Illinois.
Mr. Tim, can you change my name from Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man to that crazy broad is suing me again? Sincerely, my ex-wife is unattractive.
I'm getting a contract.
Well, I'll tell you what. Mother's Day is coming up.
I hadn't
Sherry's
heard.
Berries?
No. Well, that's an option.
Yeah.
But there's another option as
what
well.
What is that doing? Okay.
Pro Flowers, sir. Pro Flowers. Mother's Day is this weekend, and I can't wait to spend time with my mom. I can't wait to spend time with the families, the McKernan's, Anna Marie's family. I you know what I do? I like it. And then I can't wait to watch the Island Green. Number 17.
Okay. Is that the only hole that you want to watch on that tournament?
You see Fowler ace it yesterday in his practice round?
No.
I saw Dexter Fowler with another big hit last night, if that's what you're talking about.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Right. They're fast friends, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Oh, you know they're fast friends?
No, I didn't. Yeah, are you making that up?
No. After Ricky won the Honda Classic, he was hanging out with Dexter that night for the Rills.
Fowler's two.
Yeah.
All right.
Or Fowler and Fowler.
That'd be fun. That's kind of like Cagney and Lacey.
Just exactly like it.
Who is that? Tyne Daly?
Two elderly women detectives. I mean, that happens all the time.
Have you ever interviewed Tyne Daly? I feel like she's been on.
No, I interviewed the other one. Glass, I think her name is.
Oh,
George yeah. Glass.
Yeah, I didn't interview Tyne. The other one I did, though.
Did you meet her at all? Was this in person or on the phone?
It was a phone thing.
Well, anyway, Mother's Day. It's this weekend. It's Sunday, as a matter of fact. And you can still send the 100 Blooms for Mom bouquet from Pro Flowers in time for Mother's Day and wow her with these bright, colorful flowers. It comes with a free glass vase for just $19.99 plus shipping and handling. And if you really want to make a statement, you can upgrade to a premium vase and include gourmet chocolates for just $10 more. Choose the delivery date you want, and Pro Flowers guarantees your flowers will arrive fresh and beautiful and stay that way for at least 7 days. Or your money back. There's still time to get 100 Blooms for Mom delivered by Mother's Day. Click on the microphone in the top right corner and use my code MORNINGAFTER. You'll get these stunning flowers and free glass vase starting at just $19.99. That's proflowers.com and code MORNINGAFTER when you click on the mic. Order today before you're out of time and Pro Flowers is out of this bouquet. Well, I guess here we go.
Oh, email.
I guess here we go.
Okay. You handled all other business. Timmy did a good job.
Today I settled all family business.
Shot Hello, Mo Carlo. Green right in the eye.
Hello, Carlo. Doug, we're giving away free Lemmings lunch from Hot Shots for this email of the day, brought to you by Hot Shots, and a pair of Bud Bash Cardinal tickets. And that game is May 16th. Bud Bash, enter gate 4 up to 2 hours before first pitch and receive a free mini bobblehead of the featured player with autograph already on the box. Each game is a different player. This week is Bobby Tolan. It's time for the Hot Shots email of the day. Hey, guys. Long time no email. I just needed to email in about the big night tonight. It's going to be so exciting to hang out with a bunch of overweight guys with speech impediments who write emails about chocolate toot sleeves. Most of these guys don't have a single friend to hang out with before the fan page, so it's nice to provide them with fellowship. Just kidding, I wasn't invited. It's fine, though. I have a date with Doug's chocolate toot sleeve.
No, who was it?
Who? That's the Loomster.
Loomster has been suspended.
He used the art of the callback, Doug. It's called the art of the callback.
Spended a period of 2 days' time.
And three checks.
Guys, screw the May standings and your votes. You're all getting it today. Yes, I am one of the goobers invited to the G8 summit tonight. And yes, it's because I'm better than you. Number one, how big of an effing idiot is Plowsy? The G8 summit was never on the fan page. That's the place you constantly ask for people to give you free crap, Plowboy. You received a personal invite that said not to discuss it publicly. You accepted the invite that said not to discuss it publicly. You were high when you got it and Facebook confused you. Stedman would have never done this. Number two.
Harsh words.
Iggy, don't be a spineless turd with the, well, gee golly shucks. I don't want to go if it's excluding people. You knew what it was going to be when you accepted the invite to a private event. So stop being a weenie. No one on the fan page likes you anyway, whether you go or not. So grow a pair and go.
A little harsh.
Shocking, Tim wasn't going to go to an event where he couldn't take advantage of the fan page.
I don't know what that means.
I mean, I'm the one who's on the fan page.
I'm making money at the event somehow.
I mean,
nobody's talking about.
Is this a 501c or is this a business?
I don't know. I don't know. I thought it was just kind of recreational 3 hours of chit chat.
It's friends getting together.
And yep. I thought the fan page is connected to the show. It's the fan page of this show.
I think Justin just had to take a shot at me and he took his best. Number four, Doug, stop with the goober stuff. You're an old man who's been carrying around a pointless suspension book for years to write down names. Who say something that might offend you.
You know what? He's been suspended.
Well,
Justin in Columbia just got suspended. Suspended a period of 2 days' time.
Number five, the cat tread lightly with the goober stuff, too. Hurry up, there's a girl in studio or a porn star on the phone. Run out of the studio. Number six, shut up, sea monster.
I don't get it.
That's from Justin in Columbia.
Justin in Colombia.
The G8's location has been changed to Hot Shots in St. Charles. Suck it, Plops. Wow, wow, wow. Has it just been announced again?
That's not true.
Wow, wow, wow.
Justin in Colombia, one of the Goober 11.
But he's not going.
Goober 10.
It says up, on the board right now, Butch Patrick is on KMWX right now being interviewed by Charlie Brennan.
That's not the werewolf doll. That's actually Butch Patrick.
The Texan. Why is Brennan stealing our material?
Jealous.
Right. All right, Doug, I hate to do this, but you're officially on notice, bud. You can call us losers and goobers until you're blue in the face, but we're not the ones who will spend the entire afternoon putting together a little stolen video package with a snippet of the new kid from A-Ball stealing a base, only to get cut off because there's some suspect clouds forming over Upper Arnold and Steve Templeton didn't roll up his sleeves for nothing. Your whole day's work is going to be cut off by a giant cumulonimbus before you can even list the current standings and schedule for the next three games. But yeah, we're wasting our time. That'll do it. Back to you, Steve. That's for Matt, who bowls at Hanks.
That hit a little too close to home. Matt, who bowls, right there at Hanks.
Plowboy, hopefully you're not working in a toll booth later tonight. Wow. Matt, who bowls at Hanks. Is that a Santino
was
whacking?
That just did we just have a death threat on our show? Is that what
That's
we
a
had?
Shot at the text inbox.
Matt, who bowls at Hanks, has been suspended for making death
Oh, my
threats.
God. You're suspending legends.
A period of 3 days' time for the death threat. I'll do the paperwork right now in the hotshot suspension logbook.
Good morning, gentlemen. I am here to set the record straight about the G8 summit. Deke and I have been plotting this course for years. Ever since Deke and I met at the first annual Dotem Open, we have discussed a meeting of the minds to achieve his freedom. We are revolutionaries. We are visionaries. We are crusaders. We are freedom fighters. But we also have loose lips, Atkins, in the group, so there's that. We do not wish to divide the fan pee. Nay. Do you like that? We do not wish
I don't.
To... I like that you said nay there.
I like it.
We wish to formulate a plan to unite us as one to strike down the white authoritarian dictatorship rule of that old queen, Douglas Irvin Vaughn, and finally free the political prisoner inside of us all, Deke Dotem. But in all reality, Tony Doe will probably bring a Ziploc bag of paint thinner rags that we could all huff in the parking lot. Then we'll reenact one of Tunnel's haikus while Engine Joe Cave Ride Magic Man takes pics. See you tonight, Hot Shots and Fenton. Cucky, second parishioner of the G8 Summit. P.S. No Dugs allowed. Ooh, you just got stowed.
Darn, and I had so hoped to get there. Cucky, second parishioner.
Howdy. I find it ironic that John Taylor is commenting on cardinal sexism when he used to put teenage girls in a tizzy as a basis for Duran Duran. I don't blame Taylor for becoming a sports writer. Simon Le Bon and the boys haven't had a hit since Ordinary World in 1993. The only gig on their docket is the DeCoin Auto Show. When John comes on, can you please ask him why they dumped all that water on their gear in the Reflex video? Seems like a waste of good instruments. Speaking of music, yes, it's true. Doug, your former intern Weezer, has his own band. They're playing soon at the pageant with two opening acts, Donnie Most and Evil David Letterman. Thanks, that's from Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Guys, here is official leaked audio of the setting up of the secret G8 summit meeting. Hey, everybody, thanks for being able to leave your jobs for this. Haha, just kidding. I know everybody here is unemployed. Okay, we need to have this secret meeting because we know we're the best and Tim needs to be reminded how great we are. Okay, now who do we invite? Cucky, Justin in Columbia, Deke, yep, who else? What about extending an invite to Manchild 79? Nah, we're not ready for that yet. Okay, but it might be real awkward if the only known African-American radio show participant somehow finds out about this and wants to be invited and we didn't do it beforehand. Don't worry, he'll never know. Nobody outside this group will. Is Plowboy still in? Of course, we still need him. Good, I'm pretty sure the guy who has no issue talking about his mother's ladybug tattooed nipple would share the details of the secret meeting. That comes from Biscuits with McGravy.
Biscuits with McGravy. McGravy.
To whom it may concern, I'm hoping this is where I can submit a sound-off letter entry. I'm writing to express my concern and disapproval of a tweet coming from the company InsideSTL.com. The tweet came from someone named Producer Joe, who I believe is an employee or possibly former employee of said company. Even so, I will still hold them accountable. The tweet read as follows. Sam Bradford sucks. He's a total douche. This tweet was highly offensive to me because, as you know, I am 196th Cherokee Indian, and this was extremely offensive to my ancestors. I will only be satisfied when this person is fired and there's a personal apology issued to me from Tim McCurkin. Thanks, Dorothy from St. Charles. Doug, also going by the name Corey G.
Oh, Dot from St. Charles or Corey G.
And that's what we have for that chat's email of the day. Show me what you got, little mama. Show me what you got, little lady. Show me what you got, short A.
There was a pretty good batch. I was nodding off during a couple of them, so I'm going to go with the Loomster.
Well, he got suspended. He's not eligible.
Three check marks on
my score
sheet.
I'm going to go with the rundown of tonight's Goober 11 meeting from Biscuits with McGravy.
I didn't think they were as good as I was hoping for, and I go with Biscuits with McGravy as well. Congratulations to Biscuits with McGravy. You have just won free Lemmings lunch from Hot Shots and a pair of Bud Bash Cardinal tickets on May 16th. And that just shows the void created when there's no Tunnels 12,000 and no Misty Plops. You appreciate them more when they're not there. That's a song by Cinderella, 1987. Don't know what you got till it's gone. Okay. Wow, wow, wow. Yeah,
97.
Sing that
87?
I don't know what year it was. I don't
pay
attention.
Don't know what you got till it's gone.
No, it's you're doing it different. Anyway, it's the Lion's Choice famous recipe handoff to Frank Guzman on the Hollywood Casino Prospects. Time for us to shut it down. For the Plow Cub. For Iggy. For the Sea Monster. For my brother Kevin. For Douglas Elvin Vaughn. And for Jimmy the Cat Hayes. I'm Tim McKernan, and this has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan, KFNS 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Butte Jeep Studios.